Thank you, thank you, thank you, Les and the band. Thank you so much. Well, good morning again. For those of you who don't know, my name is Greg Robbins. I'm one of the lay leaders here for part of the men's ministry. We get together every Sunday morning for a men's Sunday school class that meets over in room 19 and 20, and then we also have a men's breakfast that meets the second Saturday of every month. And we encourage you to, if you would like to join us on those days, please come and see us, see myself, Adam, Mike, Pastor Rich. We'd love to have you be a part of that. Before we get started, I'd just like to open us up in a word of prayer, so please join me. Father God, thank you again for allowing us to come and celebrate you on this day, Father's Day, where we can give you the glory and the praise that you deserve, Father. I now ask with your Holy Spirit that is dwelling with us now that you will be with us and with the words that are shared, and that people may hear them through the Holy Spirit and touch their lives. Thank you again for this opportunity, and we ask this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So last year I was up here on Father's Day, this is my second year, and I had a lot of props, had a lot of things that showed what distracts us through our daily lives. We had just the different things that aren't necessarily bad, they are things that are given to us by our Lord and Father, our Savior. We have our families, we have our work, we have our homes, we have our education, our school, we have our kids, we have so many different things that make us really busy. I think a lot of times the mentality was that adding God and involving God in our lives was just another thing to put on that checklist. And we talked about how even at times it was shown in the Bible that Jesus himself made it a point to step away from everything, to go and be by himself and to pray. He would leave the thousands that were following him to go and pray to his heavenly Father. He would leave the disciples, the ones that were close to him, to go and pray with his heavenly Father. And we also talked about how that should be a testimony to us and how we're to live our lives, that we are supposed to go and pray and be with our heavenly Father. So today I'd like to share a little bit about, so if this is a sermon series, and I've got about till 2020 that I'll finish this. We're going to talk a little bit about the benefits of that prayer. What is that prayer life? What will it do for you? What will it do for you to step aside and spend good quality time with your Heavenly Father? And I think we miss this in our lives. Again, going back to the chaos that we run a rat race in this, particularly in this town, where we're constantly just doing things. So we're going to look at what, I use the word benefits, but it's not necessarily benefits, the advantages, it's just what will you gain from having that quiet time with your Lord and Savior. And the first thing that came to my mind was you will truly have a sense of peace. Now, I'm not saying it's not okay to, I mean, God definitely wants to hear our petitions. He wants to hear us confess to him, Father God, there are so many things in my life that are driving me crazy, that I feel like I'm out of control. And that's okay, but there are times that once you give that to God, you have to let it go. Because he will provide you with a sense of peace in your heart. Now, I should have stated at the very beginning that, as I said last year, this message is really for the men. It's Father's Day, but it is applicable to all people. I'm not going to separate. But, guys, we have to let it go. We have to, when we give it to God, we have to know that he is going to take care of it for us. And we have to believe that that's going to happen. And if you do believe that that's going to happen, you will have a sense of peace in your heart that will just transcend everything. One of the things that I wanted to share this morning, and I had a lot of things that I was going to talk about, but I didn't think you wanted to be here for about an hour, so I know Pastor Rich can confirm that. About 16 days ago, no, not about, exactly 16 days ago, I lost my job of 22 years. It was taken away. And I will tell you that my life was spinning out of control. And as I worked on this lesson and this message that I was going to talk about today, I was really confused on what was going on because I had a whole different topic that I was going to talk about today. But then life changed. And it has a funny way of doing that, life, where things will change without you even being ready for it. And I had a lot of questions. I had a lot of fears. I had a lot of doubts. I had a lot of worries. I need to help provide for my family. I need to help put food in the refrigerator and shelter over their heads, pay for that mortgage. What about vacations and time for the summer to spend with my kids? What about insurance? Praise God, my wife has a wonderful job, and most of the insurance was covered by her, but we have my dental insurance. I was like, oh my gosh, I want to make sure that we get the kids in there, and I got an appointment next week. So it's all these fears were going through my head, and I had all this panic, and I know it's stress on my wife, and I know it's stress on my family, and what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And I can tell you today, as I stand here, I don't have a job lined up. It doesn't mean that I'm not looking. It doesn't mean, but I gave it to God. How can I talk about today and not actively participate in it? And so I gave it to God. And I will tell you that I have a great peace in my heart. It doesn't mean that I get to sit idle, but at least I know that my Heavenly Father is right there with me. At least I know that I have God's love, God's encouragement, God's support. And through that relationship, I will see things a little bit differently. And that leads me to my next point. If we have that sense of peace, then we get to the part where God will actively work in your life. And I want to take a moment. One moment, we'll get back to the story. But I want you to think, and I'm sure there's some astronomical number that some mathematician here in this sanctuary can come up with. But in the entire world, there's been billions, billions, and billions of people, right? Would you agree? So I'm going to just, for the simplicity of it, say there's been like a billion people, because I can't put my head around that astronomical number. God chose you to have an intimate, personal, loving relationship with you. He created you. He made you. He wants you here for a specific reason. Think about it. Billions of people, and he chose you. He chose Mike DePue. He chose Doris Smith. He chose Pastor Rich, Matt Stevens, Sharon, Larry Trigg. He chose you to have this beautiful, intimate, loving relationship. So why wouldn't he want to work in your life? It was shared last week with Mr. Bennett that was up here. I was getting ready for the barbecue. I was helping set up tables, so I didn't get a chance to hear the message. So I listened to it online as I was getting, you know, I have a lot of free time. I went back and listened to a few other sermons about prayer and about other things. But I listened to Mr. Bennett's, and he talked about how we are put here for God's purpose. And when God's done with us, he will take us away. So if you have accepted Christ and he is a part of your life and you've taken your worries to him and you've given it, laid it down at his feet, and you have that sense of peace, guess what? He's going to work in your life. Be ready. Be ready for those instructions. Be ready for those opportunities that are going to appear for you. Now, I'll say that during my time of fear, and I gave him that sense of peace, he has openly and wonderfully showed me how he's working in my life already. I didn't put it out immediately on the prayer chain because there was a part of me that I was a little, I don't know if it was embarrassed, I was sad that I lost my job. I've heard so many people about losing their job, and I was so secure that I was going to have this job and that I was going to retire with this company. So I put it out on the prayer chain, and immediately that following Sunday, I had so much love and support that came to me. I had people coming up to me saying, Greg, what can we do for you? Greg, how can we help you? I had ladies from the impact group come up to me and say, Greg, I don't have a full schedule at the hospital, or I'm off from summer because I teach kids. If you need to go apply for a job or do an interview, I want to come and help watch your kids for you. I've had other people come up to me and say, Greg, when you're ready, make your resume We'll take a look at it together. We'll work with you on getting that. I had Steve McGlennigan meet with me one day for about an hour in the church library. We talked about resume building. We talked about getting some financial support for unemployment. We talked about other things, about other groups that are out there that can help you. But then God does these wonderful things where other people have stepped up, not even knowing of my situation. I've given it over to God, and I'm on the church softball team. And our coach, Dwight Whipple, who is not here today, he's with his family celebrating Father's Day. He didn't know I'd lost my job. And after every game, there's a devotion that's held in the center of the baseball field. And he gave this great testimony. And as he's sharing this story, I start bawling. I am a wreck because God is talking to me again and again and again. He put out there that he was sharing the story of in the days when the refiners had to refine the silver. And I'm going off of this is what he told me. So if I'm wrong, any of you experts out there, I'm just going off what he told me. But in the olden days when they had to refine the silver, they had to burn away all the old stuff. They have to burn away all the other ores and stuff that are mixed with that silver. And they had to put it in the middle of that fire. They have to put that silver in the middle of the hottest part of that fire. And when they do that, there's a certain time where they have to make sure that they pull it out, because if they don't, it's going to ruin that silver. And that point is right when the refiner can see his reflection coming back at him in that silver, he knows he needs to pull it out. He knows that the silver is at the perfect stage when he can see his reflection. And the story is that if God can see himself in us amongst all the bad stuff and everything, when we are refined and God can see that our actions living testimony for him, how wonderful is that? And here I am thinking, man, my life is horrible. Everything's going crazy. I'm out of control. And Dwight shares a story, and it's just like, thank you, God. I know he's involved. I know he's involved. How can he not be involved? When I was also working on this, I came up, I don't know why, but this verse kept coming to my head. It was from Psalm 119, 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And it struck me that God gives us the guidance. His word is his light to help us see where we need to go in his life. We think it's our life, but it's God's life. We're living it for God. So that lamp is there as a tool, as a guide. But you have to believe in that lamp. Because if that lamp goes out, you're going to be in darkness. And this verse just kept coming to me and coming to me and saying, and I had to say, thank you, God. You are the light. You are the light on my path. So we have peace when we give it all over to him. We can hear God's instructions, and we can hear God's involvement in our life when we give it over to him, and we pray, and we spend time with him. But there's another way that we can spend time with our Lord and Savior. And that's through this book right here. Through the Bible. We were talking in our Sunday school class about how, it's easy to say, I'm going to read the Bible. But don't make it a checklist. Don't make it add it to one more thing that you have to do. It should be something you want to do. It should be something that you should be intimately wanting to set aside to spend time with God and learn about what's in this book. There's an amazing thing about the book. You'll find insight and answers to how you are to live your life in regards to relationships, life's difficulties, making decisions. This is a powerful book. It's an instruction manual. God's instruction manual, and we all have access to it. I'd encourage you, if you don't have one, please go out and get one. If you can't afford one, please come and see myself. I'll help you get one. There shouldn't be a cost on this. This should be free. I've spent a lot of time trying to prepare for today, and if you believe in this book, and you believe in the word that's in this book, then you believe in Jesus Christ. You can believe in what he can do for you. You can believe in what he has in store for you. It's about being intimate with God. You have to make a purpose. You have to want to do it, number one, but you have to make it personal. This is again, he made you to spend time with you. Now, I know it's not going to be easy. I know that there is certainly hard times ahead of you. Like I said, I had no clue that this was coming. And it's not easy. But nothing in life is easy, is it? I wanted to share a story. I'm going to finish up here. Mike said it great. Thank you, Mike, wherever you are. Faith. Faith is believing in something that's unseen. I lost my bookmark. That's okay. Before I was let go, one of my primary responsibilities at the bank was to make sure that my team was providing the best customer service. It's all about customer service out in the retail world now. It's about making sure we go out of our way to give the best customer service to our customers. Why? Because that keeps them coming back. If they get bad customer service, they're not going to come back. And one day I wasn't feeling it. I was just having a rough day, and I sat at my desk and I said, Father God, I just want to see your existence today. I want to feel that you're out there, God, that you're working. I prayed for a few moments and I got up and I went back to doing my work. And part of my job is to stand behind the teller line and, like I said, make sure they're doing what they're doing. And all of a sudden this guy walks in. He brings a big little cash box. And he brings it up to the teller, my teller John, and he opens up the box and there's like $20,000 in cash. And I'll share that when you're a banker, money coming in looks like green paper. Money in your wallet looks like cash. So he brings in, and that to me, $20,000 doesn't look like a lot, but for a single guy coming in with a big metal can full of cash, it was kind of curious. And the teller started a conversation. John started having this conversation with him and asking him, wow, where did you get all this money? And he started to tell a story about how he had created a fundraiser. And the fundraiser was to help cancer treatments, or cancer victims that have a particular type of cancer, and I'll get into that in a moment. And he was able, through all of his connections, to get the Stanford soccer team to play the Cal Berkeley soccer team in a benefit soccer game. Now, I don't know if it was the women's team or the men's team, but I didn't get a chance to ask him that because of what we talked about next. But so they had this benefit soccer game. And people came and emptied their wallets and started throwing money in, and they were having a great time, and they raised this money. And this was just the cash. He had another stack of checks. I can't even imagine what he raised from that. And so John asked him again, said, well, wow, that's really amazing. Why would you do this benefit soccer game? He said, well, it's a long story. And as he started talking, I started getting closer and closer, where I'm almost on top of John because I wanted to hear this story. This man's daughter was diagnosed with that cancer. And he kept talking about how she's only 9 years old. And at 9 years old, she had to have her leg amputated. It was a particular type of cancer that affects the bones, and it usually only affects young men, young boys. And it's in their development stage that affects, and I couldn't get all the details. But for some reason, it affected his daughter. And she had to have her leg amputated at 9 years old. And at this point, I'm like hovering. I'm almost like, get out of the way, John. I want to hear this story. And he was getting ready to leave. And I said, sir, can I just ask you one question? Because he had shared that during this entire time, his daughter was in great spirits. his daughter was okay with what was going on, that she was, you know, she knew that everything was going to be fine. And I said, how did your daughter get to that point? And he said, two things. Every single day, he and his wife would tell her, you're going to be fine. Every single day, they would tell her that there are going to be rough days ahead, but mom and dad are going to be here. Every single day, they reaffirmed with her, we love you, and we're going to be here and hold you and love you and take care of you. And when you're in the hospital, you're going to go into surgery, and we're going to be there by your side when you go to sleep and when you wake up. Every single day, they told their daughter how important she was to them and that they were not going to let anything happen to her. The other thing was prayer. He said, we have a church family that prays for us constantly. We have a church family that cares and supports us, has been taking care of us. And their daughter knows that. Wow. How is it that a 9-year-old girl, knowing that she's going to lose her leg, has lost her leg, but is looking forward to getting her prosthetic leg and looking forward to growing up and being a normal girl and being everything that a little girl can be? Why is that? Because she had faith in her father and her mother, knowing that everything was going to be okay. Everything was going to be just perfect. Doesn't matter what comes down her path, I'm going to get cancer, we're going to take care of it. I'm going to lose my leg, we're going to take care of it. Ladies and gentlemen, how much more beautiful is it that our Heavenly Father tells us the exact same thing? I am there for you. I will be there for you. I will help be there in the times of trouble. I will be there in the times of joy. It is all in this book right here. And I, honestly, as he left, I went back to my desk and I thanked God right then and there. And I started crying. Because God, he showed me. I asked him, God, I need you to show me that you exist in this world. Answer provided. So I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, through prayer, through the relationship that you have with God, you can have a sense of peace in your heart. You can get guidance from God, and he will show you that he loves you. He will show you that you are important to him. So, that's all I have to say today. It's a little bit. It's not as long as other times. But we're not done. I like to, at this point, come down here. One thing that I think is, as Mike DePue had shared, and one thing that's important is that we as men of the church, we do have a tough job at home. We have these walls that we think men can. We put up these walls. We can defend anything. We are raw. We can handle it all. Bring your best shot. Shoot at me. I'm behind my wall. You can't destroy me. Oh, I beg to differ. I beg to differ. And as Mike put the invitation out before, we're here. We've been through it. Maybe not exactly what you're going through, but there's men in this church that have been through it. We're going to close in just a few moments with a song that is a testimony of the men of this church. And I like to invite all men. There's a point in this song where we're going to invite the men to come forward. You don't have to sing. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you don't want to hear me sing, my mic will be turned off. I have the power. You cannot change that, Bill. All the men, come forward. And you'll see as the song starts, we're making a testimony to you of our church and to just our church body and family. We, as the men of this church, we are making a statement that we are going to stand boldly on solid rock. We are going to stand here and make a commitment to you that we're going to live our lives for Christ. We're going to live our lives as a living witness for Jesus Christ. So I'm going to close this in prayer. We're going to have John Pusateri come up, and he's going to share a little bit of scripture. and then we're going to get into the song. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity, this ability to come and share these stories for the church family. Thank you for giving me the courage to come up here and the ability to speak. I know your Holy Spirit is here and with us. Through prayer, Father, we can do all things with you as our leader. Give us that sense of peace in our hearts. Give us the direction that we need. And show us that you are a living God out in the world. Thank you so much for all of the people here, for all the fathers here, and especially, God, thank you for you, the ultimate Father in heaven. You continue to pour down your blessings on us, and we can never give you enough gratitude and thanks. We say this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.